I'm going to share about, today I'm going to share about our purpose. And because God says he knows the plans that he has for us is to prosper us and not to harm us. He says that we have a hope and a future. And God's plans for us are good. You know, just like the song was singing this morning, God says that he's for us and he's not against us. You know, I'll be honest, I was a little scared. But right in the middle of worship, when they were doing the Make Me Brave song, where it says, no fear can hinder, I just felt the Holy Spirit just come on me and said, you know, fear be gone, you know. But what I want to share with you is, it's funny that I end up in a Mennonite church, because when I was about 3 years old, my mom took me to a Mennonite church. We lived up in Baltimore, and she took me to a Mennonite church. I don't remember. I was 3 years old, you know. And you know, sometimes the devil will try to take out the people that really have a purpose and a plan and a destiny. The enemy will do everything in his power to try to take you out. So when I was about 3 years old, you know, I had this harebrained idea just to jump in the deepest end of the pool. And so they had to pull me out of the pool. And I almost drowned it when I was about 3 years old. And, you know, but I was thinking about that. And I was thinking about how God wants to take us into the deep places with him. He wants us to take us into the deep water with him. You know, you know, so when I was about, I'll say about 4 or 5, I was probably diagnosed with a thing called retinitis pigmentosa. And it's where basically your retinas don't attach to the cones in the back of your eye. And basically I have a vision of 2400, basically. But you know, that's okay. So, you know, and I've just been praying every day for God to heal me. I've just been praying, Lord, you know, what your will is, you know, you want to heal me. And I've been praying for it. I've been asking for it every day, you know. But when I was about, I'll say, as I started to get to a teenager, I wasn't raised in a church. I really didn't know the Lord, to be honest with you. And I had a stepdad that was very abusive to my mom, very abusive to me, verbally, physically. I mean, just done things that no 12-year-old, 13-year-old, 14-year-old kid should even see. You know, and, you know, not knowing God, you know, when you see that stuff, you're hurting, you know. And so I started drinking, and I started smoking marijuana when I was like 15 years old, because that was my way of out, because I didn't know of a God that cared for me until you know. So from probably about the age of 16 to 18, that's what numbed my pain, because I seen my mom, her wrist cut. I seen her eardrum busted. I've seen things that, like I said, no 15-year-old kid should see, you know. You know, so when I was about 17, 18, when I was about 18 years old, I graduated from high school. I moved down here with my aunt, and I was still just doing my thing, because I didn't know anything else. So I had a cousin that would constantly ask me all the time to come to church. And I was so ignorant and so mean. I said, look, I don't want nothing to do with your God. I don't want nothing to do with your church. I don't want nothing to do with it at all. Just leave me alone. And he would not leave me alone. So I said, look, I said, just so you'll leave me alone, I said, I'll go to church. I said, if God don't do anything, I said, don't ever ask me to come ever again. So I walked into the church, which was another church I was going to at the time. I walked in there. It's where my cousin was going. And I said, you know, the youth pastor, I was 18 years old. The youth pastor was preaching about, of all things, I got to walk into a message where he's preaching about hell. I'm like, you know, and I can't tell you how I knew. I have no idea because I didn't know at the time. I do now, but I didn't at the time. I knew I was, you know, kind of on that road to hell, you know, because I was just constantly just doing things that was not of God. And so I gave my heart to Jesus that night. And then the journey started. But it was funny because I was still, I kind of had one foot in the church and one foot in the world. And I had another cousin that made a bet with me. He's like, because I was still drinking, I was still getting high, but I was still going to church at the same time. And he said, "I bet you $100 you can't stop smoking weed." I said, "You're crazy." So I bet him. I failed. You know what I mean? Because without God, you can't do it. And so basically, I was in church. I went on a Sunday morning, and God's like, "You got a choice to make." He's like, "You can either follow me, or you can keep doing what you're doing. You keep hanging out with your friends, keep partying, keep doing what you're doing." Like, it wasn't no, you know, it was just like, you have a choice, you make it, you know, that's what you got to do. So I was like, okay, so I said, "Lord, I'm going to follow you." You know, I just made that decision. I'm going to follow you with everything I got, 100%. So then I go home and tell all my friends, I'm like, "I'm not drinking no more. I'm not getting high no more. I'm going to church and I'm following God." And let me tell you, because you think they're your friends, you think they're your buddies, but I found out that they really wasn't my friends and they really weren't my buddies. Because when I decided to do that, everybody left. And I didn't have no friends at all. But I kept going to church. And I got the best friends that I could ever have today. And the best, you know, the best family that I could ever have today as a church family. Like y'all have done nothing but been awesome to me and great to me. And I feel like from the first day I've walked into this church, I've felt nothing but the love of God. You know, and so I just want you to know as a congregation that, you know, I just from day one, I've felt at home here. You know, and so basically I started praying for God to fill me with the Holy Spirit. And it was a 3-year journey. I was getting mad because I would see my friends get filled with the Holy Spirit and I'm like not getting filled with the Holy Spirit. Nothing's happening. I'm like, "God, I just got mad. I just quit seeking for the Holy Spirit. I was like, I'm done with it." You know what? So then my cousin, another one of my cousins, he was going to a small church at the time. And me and him had gotten into discussion about the Holy Spirit. We got in an argument about it because I said, "Look," I said, "I've been praying for 3 years." I said, "The Lord ain't filled me with the Holy Spirit now. He ain't going to do it. He ain't never going to do it." I mean, that's just how I felt. So we got into an argument over it. And so I went to church with him that night. And I started praying. And the Holy Spirit came on me. I started speaking in tongues. And I ain't been the same since. So in 2000, you know, after I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I said, "Lord, what am I supposed to do?" And I was sitting in a church service just like this, and they had a guest speaker, and he was talking about doing youth ministry, and I felt the Holy Spirit, like I felt like electricity just go right through me. And I said, "Okay, Lord, I know what you're calling me to do. You're calling me to minister to young people, because young people have walked a hard road." I said, "Okay, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do." You know, and so I just started, you know, helping out with the youth ministry. And, you know, And I just started getting, like I said, getting good friends. You know, like Brian and Jen have been coming here for a while. I've been friends with them for about 15 years. And Brian has no idea, but there's times that I've been just literally down in the dumps, and God has used him to encourage me, to lift me up, you know. And that's what we need. We need people that are going to encourage us, lift us up, build us up, and carry our burdens with us. Because that's what we're supposed to be as a church. And if we're not doing that, we're not doing God's will. You know, just in general, just walking through, you know, and it's funny because the Lord, sometimes we wonder why God shuts doors. Sometimes God shuts doors to take us to different places. And I was going to another church, and I've been helping out with the youth ministry for about, I'll say, 10 years at least. And some things happened, which I won't even get into. But I see now that God was closing a door to bring me here. At the time, you know, it's like the Holy Spirit, you know, was just like dealing with me. And he's like, it's like, I come here, and honestly, I was kind of hurt when I first got here, and the Lord really started dealing with me, and he's like, you can't just sit in this pew and do nothing, you know. And I'll tell you the truth, I thought I was done with youth ministry, I thought I was finished with it, and so about. I say about 6 months ago, or about it's probably been 8 months ago now. The Lord started giving me dreams. I said, Lord, what are you doing? Because I'm dreaming about you know people I don't even know, and so I'm like, okay, Lord, you're messing with me now. So that I have a first dream that's on a Monday. So the following Monday I have another dream about youth ministry. Then I had like within a month's time I had like five dreams. I said, Lord, what are you doing to me? Lord said, I'm calling you back to youth ministry, and I felt just like a burning in my heart, and that's how I knew that God was calling me back to it. And you know, and it's like that's my purpose. You know, I feel like that's my purpose in life is to minister to young people, because I feel like, you know, God has called me to do that. You know, some of y'all have different purposes. Some of you in here might have a purpose to be a mom, to be a dad, to be a mechanic, to be a school teacher. Whatever God calls you to do, do it with everything that you have. Do it with greatness. You know, do it with what God's calling you to do it with. I get here and I'm like, Lord, you know. So he starts dealing with me about helping out with the youth ministry, and I started, and I really didn't like. I wanted it to be all the Holy Spirit, every bit of it, the Holy Spirit. I didn't want to kick doors down, open doors up. I felt like the first thing I need to do before I even get involved in youth ministry or anything in this church, I felt like I need to become a member. And, you know, so it's funny, then Pastor Tim starts, you know, members class. And then, I came up here and shared what I shared with about me being having an eye problem and a little bit about doing youth ministry. But, like, I wasn't, like, that wasn't, like I had no agenda to say, you know, I just want to do that. So Wendy had come to me and started talking to me, and she's like, you want to come and give your testimony? And I said, sure, you know, because I knew God was already dealing with me about, you know, coming to help out with the youth ministry. And I tell you what, the youth leadership that we have in this church is phenomenal. Let me tell you, they do one heck of a job with your kids. Let me tell you. And they have accepted me, And they have allowed me to do the things that God has wanted me to do. And they don't know me. You know, they've got to know me. But when I first came here, they didn't know me. You know, and it's and you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit will do things that you have no control over doing. You know, and that's what I wanted to do. I wanted the Holy Spirit to drive that thing. I didn't want to open up the doors. Because I've done that at times, and sometimes it's caused a problem, you know. So I really wanted the Lord to open the door, and you know the Lord did open the door, and I'm thankful for it, you know. And like I said, we have some awesome kids in this church, you know, and so I just wanted to share that with you. I want to share another thing, and I just felt like the Lord said to talk about forgiveness. Because sometimes we have to forgive people. And that's what I had to do with my stepdad. I had a lot of anger and frustration built in my heart towards him. And it took me 7 years to forgive him. But, you know, the Lord did that. Me and the pastor of my old church, we had a huge falling out. But the Lord dealt with me. He said, if you don't forgive that man, you're not going to be able to do the things that I'm calling you to do. So I had to call him up and talk to him. And I said, look, I said, you may have done some things that I didn't like, and I've probably done some things that you ain't liked. I said, but the both of us need to forgive one another. I said, because if we don't forgive each other, I said, you're not going to be able to do what God's calling you to do, and I'm not going to be able to do what God's calling me to do. You know, and he's like, you're right. You know, so that was, to me, that was the healing process that started. You know, and then I just like during worship service here and just sitting back in the back, you know, God had to heal my heart. And, you know, and like I said, like 6 months before I started helping out with the youth ministry, if somebody would have come and said, do you want to do youth ministry? I'd have told them no way because I just didn't feel like God was calling me to that anymore. And, you know, because sometimes we're all in different seasons and all in different callings. You know, you know, and we have people to influence us. And one thing I'm going to share, there's a lady sitting back there in the back. Her name is Bonnie Warren. And it's funny because when I first started going to church, she came up to me. And she's like, if you ever need a ride to church or this or that, she's like, here's my number, and don't hesitate to call me. And I'm like, dude, what? I don't know her from nowhere. You know, and so I started, she started picking me up every Wednesday, every Sunday. You know, she was a huge influence in getting me to church. You know, and she, you know, we would, she had a van we would pack out. I mean, like a 15 passenger van. And sometimes we would have 20 people in that van. We'd get to church and they would just, they just fall out like sardines. I mean, they was just packed in there. I mean, you know, and I just helped her out taking the kids but she was a huge part of, you know, picking me up for church every morning, picking me up for church every Wednesday, all time faithfully. You know, I had a spiritual dad. I lost my spiritual dad and my spiritual father within 6 months of each other. And I tell you what, it was a blow. I'm not gonna lie to you, it was a blow. And like I was just kind of in the dumps. And the Lord kind of spoke to me. He said, your spiritual father would not want you, everything that he's poured into you and poured into you, go back to your old way of life. You know, and I said, Lord, you're right, you know. And, you know, there's been, you know, there's a guy, his name is Bob. He was my youth pastor at the time. Now me and him are great friends. And, you know, he's been a huge influence, a huge encourager. There's one other person I'm going to talk about, and then I'm going to share something else. How am I doing on time, Brian? All right. There was another guy. His name was Brother Lil. And from the age of probably about 22, I'll say to about 25, he was a big influence in my life. Because he really, really shared a lot of things that was really helpful in that period of time. And that's how I got started kind of ministering. I started speaking in Sunday school, and then I started, speaking at, Wednesday nights. And really, really, this is not what, I like doing this, don't get me wrong, but my thing is I love to pray for people. Love it. You know, that's where I feel like my call is to pray for people. I don't care if it's young people, old people, I don't care. I just love to pray for people. So Brother Lou, he was a really big influence. You know, and the reason I'm sharing this is because we need those influences in our lives so we can do, you know, the things that God has called us to do. Because if we don't have people speaking into our lives, and that's, you know, especially at those ages of from 16 to 25, I say we really need them. You know, we really need people, you know, influencing us. Because if we don't influence, guess what? The world's going to influence. You know, as a church, we need to influence our kids, our teenagers, our young adults, we all need one another. Because if we don't have one another, we don't have anything. You know? And, as a body, that's what we need. We need each other. You know? One other thing, I when I was 16 years old, see the devil had it out for me. He just tried to take me out several times. You know, I got hit by a car when I was 16. If I would have been 1 pound lighter, I'd have been done. Like, it would have ran over top of me, and I've been going. Fell through a set of bleachers when I was 10. Had to have my whole jaw reconstructed. And just the enemy, had it out for me. But, that's okay. Because, he's getting his now, I felt like doing worship. I want to share one other thing before I share that thing in worship. About 2 months ago, I was sitting back there in the back and I was worshiping the Lord, and I seen this fire, and it was all at one level, and it started up here. It started right here, actually, believe it or not, and it just went around the whole church and came back around here. And what the Lord showed me, he showed me that he wants to start a fire in this church. He wants to start a Holy Spirit fire. And he showed me he wants to start it with the young people first. And then he wants to spread it to the whole church. And that's what he showed me. He showed me several things about this church that he wants to take us deeper. Like, we're just kind of like, you know how you get in the ocean and you're just kicking your feet around in the water? Well, he wants to get us out in the water where the waves are over our head and we can't put our feet on the ground, because that's where he wants to take us. That's what he wants to do. But I was doing worship. It's funny because I went to my cousin's last night and I watched, I don't know if anybody in here watches the UFC, but I do. You know, the Lord says fight, you know. We got to fight, you know. So I had to bring my stuff with me. And it's funny because during worship, the Lord showed me, said, sometimes we carry around our baggage. Like, we carry around the stuff and we hold on to it. And God's like, I don't want you to hold on to it. He's like, I want you to give it to me. He's like, I want you to lay it at my feet and give it to me. There's not just baggage, but sometimes just the weight of life sometimes just weighs us down. And God wants us to give it to him. So I'm about done with that. What time we have? All right, so I can keep going? Keep going? All right. You know, so, you know, just in the journey of life, you know, we have to allow God to be God in our lives. And sometimes it's just, you know, the best thing we can do is be ourselves and be real. You know, that's what I was sharing with somebody this morning before I came in here. You know, it's better to be real and to be yourself than to be fake. You know, because God doesn't want us to be fake. You know, he wants us to be real and he wants us to be transparent, you know. And that's the way I am. I'll be real with you and be transparent, and you know, and that's the way God intended us to be, you know. He don't want us to be fake, you know. But I just have built an awesome, you know, I spoke to Tim this week, and because I didn't know if he was going to be here or not be here. So I talked to him this week. I said, are you going to be there? He said, no. He said, I'm away. I said, are you? I said, oh, man. I said, you know, I told him, I said, you know, it gives me great, great faith to know that he has enough faith in me to allow me to stand up here and to speak to all y'all. Because this to me is a privilege and honor to do this. You know, and for him to have, you know, the faith in me to do this, it just kind of blows my mind a little bit, because I don't feel like I am this great person. I feel like I just want to do what God has called me to do, and that's, you know, and I think we all should be that. We all should be, you know, in that place where we just want to do what God is calling us to do, you know, and we're all in different places, a different life. You know, different situations, you know, but God really wants us to be real and to be honest with one another. You know, I think it's better for somebody to come up to you and say, hey, you know, and you gotta be careful who you share things with too, don't get me wrong, because you gotta be able to trust the person that you're sharing with. But you know, I think we should be able to come to one another and say, hey, I am in a battle, I am struggling, and I need help. And you know what we do? I'm just going to say, as men, I know what we do. We think, guess what? We don't need any help. Guess what? We need help. You know, and as men, we should be coming and praying for one another and lifting one another up, you know, and that's what we should be doing. You know, we should be caring for one another, caring for each other's families, you know, and it's like we have to take care of one another, you know, because that's what God has called us to do. You know, the Bible says in Galatians, it says, to carry one another's burdens is to fulfill, this is one of my favorite scriptures, to fulfill the whole law of Christ. So if we carry one another's burdens, we can't mess up, you know, we can't miss it. And Jesus is with us. You know, Jesus is with everybody here. You know, and he just wants us to walk out on the water. You know, he just wants us to walk out on the water and to get into the deep things. Say, God, because sometimes I don't understand the deep things of God, and sometimes God's got to show me. You know, he's like. and he'll speak to it to me in different ways. And I want to share this because some people don't understand the Holy Spirit sometimes. The Holy Spirit is a person. You know, God has sent him here to comfort us. And I wish I would have brung it, but this is the best way I want to explain the Holy Spirit to you guys. It's you take and you have a plug, just like a normal plug that you have in the wall. And if you don't have anything plugged into that wall, you have no juice, correct? But say you plug a drill into that wall. You got power, right? Well, that's what the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is here and it gives us the power to do the things that God has called us to do. You know, so don't make it harder than it may be to understand the Holy Spirit. It's just that simple, you know? And he's come to give us comfort, peace. He's come to give us the power to do the things that God has called us to do. Because I'm telling you, if it wasn't for God, I would not be standing up here today. I would not be standing in front of y'all because God has ordained this, I believe, this week. Like this Sunday. I'm telling you, I've I know the enemy had it out for me this week. I got an eye infection. It was so bad that I could like it was hurting so bad and I couldn't see nothing hardly out of it. So I had to go to doctors and get stuff for that. So then Saturday night, I get a phone call from my mom. She walks into somebody breaking into her house. You know, I said, devil, you're a liar. I said, you know, you just got to get out of here and leave me and my family alone. You know, and that's what we got to do sometimes because God has given us authority to tell what? To tell the devil to leave. He's got to go. He has no place in our home, no place in our families, no place in our lives. He's got to leave. You know, he doesn't have that authority, you know. And God has given us the authority to put him out, you know. And we got to use that authority. You know, God has given every single person in here that has Jesus Christ in them the authority to tread on the serpents, you know, to cast out demons, you know, to cast out the devil. You know, and he's given us the power to do that, you know. And trust me, I've encountered that. And you don't want to encounter no demons, let me tell you. They ain't no fun because they are scary. I'll tell you this story, and then I think what I'm going to do is if I'm going to stick around up here for a little bit. If anybody wants prayer, they can come up here. I'll pray for them. You know, if not, y'all are free to go. But I, when I first got saved, I was really seeking the Lord, praying every day. Praying hard. I mean, day in the morning, in the afternoon, and night. I was just getting down with it. And so I heard this banging on my door. And I'm like, there's nobody. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, ain't nobody out there. So I get up, and I go to my front door, and there's this black figure about 6 foot tall. And it's got arms probably from that window to that window over there. And I was like scared to death, let me tell you. So I ran in my room and I dropped to my knees and I said, Jesus, get rid of that thing. That's what I said. I didn't know no fancy prayer. I said, get rid of that thing, you know. And it was gone. You know what I mean? It left. You know, so it don't have to be us screaming, you know, at the demons. Sometimes we just got to tell them, go, you know, because sometimes we think we have to scream at the demons. We don't have to scream at them. We just, you know, God's given us power, said, you know, go ahead and go, you know, and that's all we have to say sometimes. So, but I am done. Like I said, I'm going to stick around up here for a little bit. If anybody wants prayer, you know, I'll pray for you. But I just feel like I've said what I needed to say, and I'm done.
Thank you, say a prayer over the body.
Okay. I'm gonna pray over everybody, and I just pray, Lord, that you would just bless this entire congregation, Lord. I pray that your hand would be upon them, Lord. I pray as they go out this week, I pray, Lord God, that you would just keep your hands on them, keep them safe, Lord. I pray that you would keep every one of our teenagers safe this week. I pray that you keep every one of our children safe, Lord. I pray that you would just put angels of protection around every person, Lord. Because I know some are going to be traveling, some are going to be doing yard work, some are going to be doing all kinds of things, Lord. And I just pray that you would just keep them with you, Lord. I pray for healing over people that are sick in this congregation and need a healing, Lord. I just pray for you to heal them. I pray that you would break addictions over families, Lord. I pray that you would just set your people free, Lord. And I just speak complete freedom over this congregation and just more of your love over them, Lord. And just just like we say every Sunday, Lord, you have supremacy over everything. And let us be your disciples and let us make disciples, Lord. Let people see our light. Let our light shine before men, Lord. And I just thank you for this body, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.